Thanks for joining us online at New Life Church. We're so excited for the message that we'd love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life, our community, and the world. If you have a story to share, email us at info@newlife4kokomo.org. If you would like to give financially towards this ministry, you can do so by giving online at newlife4kokomo.org or on the New Life Church app. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear from the Word of God.
Well, this morning we are in a series we're calling Never Stop. And the idea is that we are to never stop growing. God has a purpose for all of us. You know, it always seems to be a challenge for people to discover the purpose of God. There is a challenge of growth. There is a challenge of maturity. And sometimes it seems to be a complicated discussion, but really that's what the enemy of our soul desires. One person can say, I'm called to do such and such, and one person understands what that means. Another person might be confused by what that means. The enemy of our souls, Satan, the spiritual enemy of the church, he wants to keep you from understanding God's purpose for your life. If you understand God's purpose for your life, then you're going to do it. You're going to pursue it. And he doesn't want that. So the enemy tries to keep you from developing. The enemy tries to keep you from growing. That way he can diminish your impact in the world for Christ. How many of you want to know what God's purpose is for your life and do your very best in pursuing God's purpose for your life? I believe that's the desire for every follower of Christ. Now, if we get better at God's purpose and plan for our lives, then God can trust us with bigger things. You know, sometimes in ministry, it seems like things just go along great and go along easy. You know, we show up and God shows up and God does things and he comforts and he heals and he answers prayer and lives are changed. And then there's other times where it doesn't seem like it goes so easy. There's times when it just seems like everything we're striving to do for God, we're just facing all kinds of opposition. I can tell you a time early on, I was only 15 years old. I had just recently been called in the ministry, and I had already, back when I was 11 years old, I started playing the piano in children's church. So I was doing ministry from a young age. And so one time I'm 15, and it may have actually been on this spot right here where I am, when this spot used to be part of the parking lot, before this building was built. It may be right here on this spot that I knew from God that I was not called to do children's ministry. Because you see, the church was doing Saturday bus outreaches, old church bus, you know, no air conditioning. And, oh, Randy's going to go into the ministry. Let's get him to help us. So I'm helping with this bus full of kids, and they put a Cookie Monster outfit on me. You know, they tell all the kids in the neighborhood, the Cookie Monster's going to be here, the Cookie Monster's going to be here. So it's 90 degrees in June. I remember it very well. 90% humidity. I've got this hot, sweaty Cookie Monster on. I am just sweating, just drenched, dripping like you couldn't believe it. And these little kids are walking up, opening up. The head is huge. The thing's a big blue fur, and they got this great big head, styrofoam eyeballs. And these kids are running up, opening up. That's not the Cookie Monster. That's just Randy. And then they're shoving cookies into the mouth, you know, and it's got this big cardboard thing on the mouth. And I'm like, you know, what do I do? I've got five cookies laying here on this mouthpiece of this thing. And then one of them tore a styrofoam eyeball off my Cookie Monster head. And I knew at that moment in time that I was not called to do children's ministry. See, the enemy's trying to get us to not do what God wants us to do in order to diminish our impact. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 in the Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I want you to maximize your impact for God. I want God to be able to say of you, well done, you knocked it out of the park. I had an experience in the Philippines. Sharon and I had just gotten there, and a missionary was getting ready to do it was a crusade. It would be a meeting in a tent for several nights, several weeks. And as a result of that, they hoped to have a church plant. And he had a team with him, this veteran missionary. This is a place way out in the bush, way out in a provincial area, several hours north of Manila. And so we go up there, and the missionary says, "Oh, you go on up and you start the first few days. I'll be up there in a few days." So he on purpose sends this green rookie out in the middle of nowhere with a few college students and then some young Filipino leaders. And so, you know, we do what we do. The first night we preached. I preached through an interpreter, and the next day we got together with the team of leaders for the meeting, and I thought, well, let's talk about what we can do better in the meeting tonight, you know, and just, you know, to show them that I was, you know, humble and open and so forth. I said, you know, if you can criticize and give me suggestions if you'd like. Well, buddy, they walked right through that door, I can tell you that. And they ripped me to shreds that morning like I had never been ripped to shreds before. Apparently, I was way, you know, I'd grown up hearing all my life about these, you know, in the mission field, you go there and they have 4-hour services and nobody can start. They're all telling me, man, you went way too long for these people. And, you know, you got to know, you're going through an interpreter. It's going to take, I mean, they just ripped me to shreds. I had missed the mark by quite a bit on a number of cultural issues. I'm talking about how difficult sometimes it is when we're trying to pursue God's will for my life. My mother has told me a story many times of one Sunday afternoon, and my grandfather was pastoring in Baltimore, Maryland, and he walked out of his church one day, and the folks are standing on the front of the church. It's a typical, you know, white church on the corner, and people are walking out and walking home and so forth, and another guy comes up and just punches my granddad right in the face. My granddad said, well, the Bible says turn the other cheek. So he got up and stuck his chin out. The guy got ready to haul off and hit him again, but his deacons jumped on the guy. And I don't know if that was Pastor Appreciation Day or not when that happened, but that's difficult. There were seasons in his life when my grandfather was out of the ministry. There was a time when my granddad and my uncles were out of the ministry, and they were all having a— this was before I was born, a few years before I was born, but they were having a party at one of their lake houses in Orlando, and actually Gary Ellison's mother was supposed to be watching one of the babies, and she turned around and the baby wasn't there, and they walked outside and the baby was floating on the other side of the dock. Some of my relatives at that point began to rethink God's calling on their lives. You know, there are times the enemy hits us and tries to keep us from doing what God wants us to do, but we have to press through and find out what God wants and do it, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the opposition. There has been lots of opposition in my years of ministry, but there's also been more blessings than I could have ever expected or imagined. If the enemy of our soul can distract you, he can stop you from doing what God has called you to do. He can cause you to miss your purpose. And you have a purpose. Every one of you has a purpose. Maybe you've been hit hard and you're not sure what to do next. I want you to know this. God has a purpose for your life. There will always be someone or something trying to hinder God's purpose from being accomplished in your life. But God wants to take those difficult experiences. He wants to take the hard times and use them for His glory. One of the great heroes of the Bible was Joseph, son of Jacob. His brothers sold him into slavery, told their dad he had been mauled by a wild animal, took a bloody robe home to tell their dad he had died. Joseph was sold into slavery, spent years in prison before fulfilling God's purpose for his life. But Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Jeremiah, the great prophet, spent years having been arrested and thrown into a dungeon and thrown into a pit. Job lost all of his possessions, lost all of his family members except his wife, who was no encouragement to him whatsoever, told him to just curse God and die and give up. And of course, Jesus Himself went through great opposition, having had all of His disciples walk away from Him, and then He was hung on the cross. But God wants you to know this morning, if you're going through a hard time and if you're having difficulty pressing through to live out the purpose for your life, God wants you to know that there's hope. God put something in your heart and it hasn't happened yet. Don't give up. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, Paul says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Psalm 33:11. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. The purposes of God's heart continue through all generations. God will continue his work through all generations. I was thinking this morning, my kids will be the sixth generation of our family in ministry. Through opposition and challenges, God's call, God's purpose for your life remains. So the question this morning is, how do we grow in the purpose of God? How do we grow in the purpose of God? We're going to be walking through Romans chapter 12 this morning, and I see here in the beginning of Romans chapter 12, seven keys to developing our purpose. Romans 12:1, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So number one, we must give ourselves to God. We must give ourselves to God. Now, it sounds simple, but we will never fulfill all God has for us if we, at some point in our Christian walk, stop giving ourselves to him. This giving ourselves to God can be, oh yeah, pastor, you know, back 25 years ago, I gave myself to God. Well, what about lately? Did you give yourself to God today? Did you give yourself to God yesterday? If you get stuck on your Christian journey at any point, if you stop saying, God, my life is yours, then you're stuck. We are to give up our lives daily. Sacrifice is not easy. And in the culture in which we live today, we want the easy way. We want the fast way. We want the convenient way. According to our culture, success is when everything goes well and houses get bigger and cars get more comfortable. But sometimes the way God has for us is a difficult way. And the test of whether or not you are in God's will or God's purpose is not always if everything is going well. Look at Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I have worked harder. I've been in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. I've faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I've faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And if that's not enough, I've got the daily burden of the churches. It's like, man, the whole world is against me. People have beaten me and run me to death. Besides that, this church works kind of hard. Opposition can sometimes be the confirmation that you're in God's will. But here's the encouragement. 2 Corinthians 4:8, we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. He's saying, no matter what happens to me, I'm getting back up. I'm not going to let it stop me, and I'm not going to let it keep me down. Every day we must choose to lay down our lives. We must all do this. So number one, we've got to give ourselves to God. Number two, don't copy the world. Don't copy the world. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't let the culture of our world be your example for life. Don't let people whose lives are not honoring God be your model. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. Let him shape us, not the world's culture. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Even if someone is a great example for Christ, we can learn from them, but God only made one of them. Trust me, I'm married to a triplet. But there ain't 3 of her, there's only one. There's only one like her. I had some mentors in my life, and I used to want to be like them in every way. But then I found out there were some areas in their life that I didn't want to imitate because nobody's perfect and they weren't perfect people. And I found out there were areas of their life that I would like to imitate, but it would be impossible for me to do so because their gifts were different than my gifts. And so in some areas I came to the conclusion that I will never be as good as them, and I'm not going to be another this person or another that person. I've just got to be the best Randy Blankenship I can possibly be. And I've got to let God shape me, not anything or anyone from this world. And the same is true for you. Number three, allow the change that is needed. Allow the change that is needed in your life. Verse 2 goes on, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's perfect will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The word in the Greek that's used here is the same word that's used for metamorphosis, like the changing of the caterpillar into the butterfly. Let God transform you. Let God bring this change into your life. It's fascinating. You know, somebody might respond to this and say, I think you're trying to change me. Yeah? I want you to be the best you that you can be. I'm not trying to change you into somebody else, but I want you to be the best you that you can be. God wants you to go through the process of changing into His ultimate plan. I'm still trying to change. I'm trying to become a better teacher. I'm trying to become a better leader. I'm trying to become more effective. And I want this generation to hear me and understand me. Let me ask you this. Do you have somebody in your life that challenges you? Do you have somebody in your life that challenges you? Do you have somebody in your life that helps you see where you still need to grow? This is part of what our small groups is all about. We get together and we challenge one another. And we encourage one another. We're going to be talking about that in our growth track today. Step 2 of our growth track at 12:30. You have to allow people into your lives. You have to desire the change that God wants to bring into your life. You need to ask questions. You know, like a little child, sometimes we get tired of their questions, 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 questions. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? And ultimately we ask, where do babies come from? Ask questions. It's the only way to get some answers is if you'll ask some questions. Ask God the questions you want to ask. Ask godly people the questions you want to ask. God has you where you are for a reason. It may be hard, but God wants you to grow in the particular area that you might be struggling in right now. Why am I going through this struggle? That may be the area God wants you to grow in. Every day, try to be the very best you can where you are with what you have. Number 4, stay humble. Stay humble. Verses 3 through 5. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. And we all belong to each other. When you look at yourself and measure yourself against anything or anyone, you've got to do that in a way that God wants, not in a way that will puff you up. Paul said, if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. So if I compared myself with the ministry of Billy Graham, I'd get pretty discouraged. If I compared myself with the ministry of pastors who have thousands upon thousands every week in multiple locations, I'd get pretty discouraged. Then on the other hand, if I compared myself with other pastors who seem to be reaching less people, I said seem to be, then I could get proud and I could get puffed up. So it's dangerous and it's not wise. I'm avoiding using the word stupid to compare ourselves among ourselves. Don't do that. Don't do that. God measures things differently. Our Royal Ranger commander right now, Bob Bonestell, I don't know if he's in this service or if he'll be in the next service, but Bob grew up in Covington, Indiana, under Pastor Edgar Allen. Quiet, humble, mild, meek, unassuming man. By the world standards, not considered great. Small town, small church. All he did was stay there for over 30 years. One of the kindest men I ever knew. Humble, gentle, but invested himself in that community and in families generation after generation after generation. That's success. Brother Gerald Irby, you don't know his name. He just recently went to be with the Lord. Pastored, started the church in Kirkland, Indiana. Yeah, Kirkland. I think it's somewhere between the size of Plevna and Greentown. Started the church, pastored there for many years. Was my uncle's golfing buddy, so I got a chance to golf with him occasionally. One time he wasn't there. I'm a stupid person sometimes. Stupid. And the church there in Kirkland had run around 100 or 125 people year after year after year after year. And me being stupid, I made some smart mouth remark to my uncle about, you know, man, he's been there for years. And that's, you know, the church has just been that size for years. And, you know, my uncle said, hey, over 30 years, a church of 125 in a town that has a little more than 500 in population, I'd say he's doing better than the guy that pastors a church of 2,000 in a city the size of a million. Consider yourself sufficiently rebuked by your uncle. And he was right. He was right. He was a great man, faithful, invested in people year after year after year after year. Listen, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking more of other people. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking more of other people. Number five, develop, use, and excel in your gifts. Romans 12, 6 through 8. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Growth track step 3. Next week, that's where we explore and discover our gifts and how God wants us to use those gifts. Use what you have. Do you know what you have? And develop those gifts. When I was called to preach as a teenager, they used to send me to a nursing home just a few blocks west of here. That's where I preached a lot. People sitting around in a living room setting, smoking while I'm preaching, talking while I'm preaching, hollering while I'm preaching, asking questions while I'm preaching. And then there's the guy with a fly swatter, and the face of the fly swatter is like that big, and he's just walking around the room, hitting old ladies in wheelchairs, you know? That's how you develop the preaching gift. Preached there many times. But if I had not have done that, I probably wouldn't have planted the churches that I did, and I probably wouldn't be here right now. What gifts do you have? Develop the gifts you have wherever the opportunity presents itself. If your first small group is not a big one, remember the first word of small group. That's one of the keys. Some small groups lose their effectiveness when they get too big anyway. There may be times you put out there on group week for a small group and nobody signs up. Listen, Sharon and I tried to do something a few years ago. Most people we wanted to meet with never showed up. Some weeks the only people that came here were people who didn't want to come to our church and didn't want to go to any church, and we really felt like we were failing and missing the mark completely. If you've tried to do something and it didn't seem to work, don't give up. Try it again or try something else. Those are the only choices you have, because quitting's not an option. Quitting's not an option. God has gifted you and He's called you, so quitting is not an option. A man's gifts will make room for him. I believe that. So don't give up. Don't give up seeking what God has, how He's gifted you. Don't give up developing what God has, how He wants to use you. Number 6, practice godly character. Practice godly character. Verses 9 through 15. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Practice godly character. If you throw away your character, you throw away your impact. Many great leaders have lost their ability to impact people's lives because they've lost their character. We have to watch ourselves. I've seen a lot of people who are great in ministry, I've seen them fall. Giving in to temptation and failure, moral failures, financial failures. You know what that lets me know? That lets me know no one's above failing. No one's above falling. I am certainly not above failure. And I have to recognize that and watch it and guard against it every day. And you must do the same. Because God's got a purpose for your life to influence others, and you have to maintain practicing godly character, or else you will lose the ability to fulfill God's purpose in your life. Number 7, fight off cynicism, division, and dishonor. This comes. Verses 16 through 18, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. You know, the enemy would love for us to just become cynical people, divisive, pessimistic, negative, always complaining, always griping, always thinking like we've got a better way, we know better. Our enemy loves that. That's ridiculous. That idea is too big. Does he or she really believe that's going to happen? Pessimists see everything as bad. Realists see the good and the bad. Optimists try to find the good in everything, the hope in everything, and in everyone. We have to push away a cynical spirit. We have to believe that no matter what happens, we're not going to stop believing that God has a good plan. Back to Joseph. He finally became ruler over Egypt. Great famine hit the land, and his dreams were fulfilled. His brothers came to him so that he could meet their needs because he was stockpiling food to give to people during the famine. So Joseph said to his brothers, you see, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The enemy of our souls and those he uses to come against us, they mean it for evil. Try to stop God's work and God's purpose in our life, but God means all of that opposition that comes to us, all the difficulty and all the struggle, God wants to turn it around into good and into victory. Every day, invest your heart and your life for the purposes of God. If you do that, if every day you say, God, what's your plan today? What's your purpose today? How can I grow in your purpose and your gifting and your calling for my life today? If you have that as your goal, it will happen. You'll wake up one day, and you'll look back and you'll say, man, I can't believe everything God's done. Never expected he would have accomplished that much. Years ago, when I was a teenager, this building wasn't here. All this church had was the old stone building. I was at a teen camp, and the speaker encouraged all of us to pray. To bow our heads and ask God to give us a vision. So I did what he said. Bowed my head. Asked God to give me a vision. And what I saw was that old sanctuary over there with pews. I saw it filled with folding chairs in between the pews and up around the front rows and standing room only. And this was when this building over here wasn't half full. I shared that with our pastor. Okay, he told me to bow my head, ask for a vision. That's the vision. It was really something that was hard to believe that it would ever come about, because the church had been small for years. It was after I left and went to college and to other places of ministry that people began to come. People began to be saved. The church began to grow. Soon there were the folding chairs. Soon there was standing room only. And they went into two services in that building there while they built this building. Church now is four times larger than it was at that time. That doesn't mean I'm great because I saw a vision or that the vision came to pass. That's me saying, you go to God and say, God, what's your plan for my life? And I believe God will show you something bigger than what you are thinking about right now. God, what's your purpose for my life? What do you want to accomplish through my life? I believe God will show you something bigger than what you're thinking about right now. If you have big dreams, God's placed them there for a reason. I want to tell you, if you're struggling and if you're giving up on what you feel is God's plan and purpose and call on your life, it's not over. You're not done. There's still something ahead of you. If you will grow and develop, God's dreams that He's placed in you will come to pass. Father, we thank you that you are the one who calls, and you are the one who gives gifts. You are the one who, Lord, we're no accident. No person in this place is an accident. You have brought each and every one of us into this world, and you've given us the breath of life because you have a purpose for us. Lord, I pray for every one of your followers right now, Lord, that they would seek you and commit themselves to accomplish the purpose that you have for their lives. Let us each grow in the purpose and the plan you have for us. In Jesus' name. And I want to ask you right now, as we're praying, the very first thing that needs to happen for you to grow in the purpose of God is to know God. How do I know God? The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved.